Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Is it text 30?
Yes. Upasamhara Vishwatman.
Upasamhara Vishwatman.
Adorupama Laukikam.
Adorupama Laukikam.
Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Shri Ajushtam Chaturbhujam. Upasamhara Vishwatman.
Upasamhara Vishwatman.
Jai Shri Nityangadev Bhagavan.
Jai.
Upasamhara Vishwatman.
Upasamhara Vishwatman.
Adorupama Laukikam.
Adorupama Laukikam.
Shankha Chakra Gada Padma.
Shankha Chakra Gada Padma.
Shri Ajushtam Chaturbhujam.
Shri Ajushtam Chaturbhujam.
Upasamhara.
Upasamhara.
Withdraw.
Withdraw.
Vishwa-atma.
Vishwa-atma.
O all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead.
O all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adaha.
Adaha.
That.
Rupam.
Rupam.
Form.
Form.
Alaukika.
Alaukika.
Which is unnatural in this world.
Which is unnatural in this world.
Shankha Chakra Gada Padma.
Shankha Chakra Gada Padma.
Of the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus.
Of the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus.
Shriya. With these opulences.
With these opulences.
Jushtam.
Jushtam.
Decorated.
Decorated.
Chaturbhujam.
Chaturbhujam.
Four hands.
Four hands.
Translation. O my Lord, you are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your transcendental four-armed form, holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and become just like a natural human child so that I may try to hide you somewhere. That last phrase was in brackets. Purport. Devaki was thinking of hiding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not handing him over to Kamsa, as she had all her previous children. Although Vasudeva had promised to hand over every child to Kamsa, this time he wanted to break his promise and hide the child somewhere. But because of the Lord's appearance in this surprising four-armed form, he would be impossible to hide. Okay, this is going to be arranged. We could argue that Devaki didn't promise to do anything. Vasudeva promised to hand the children over. Prabhupada admits here that Devaki is talking, but Vasudeva also wants to hide Krishna. So he wants to break his promise. This is unusual. Like Yudhishthira, Vasudeva was very attached to remaining truthful. Yudhishthira even refused to do what Krishna asked, rather than tell a lie. He did not want to say that Asha is dead. And therefore, from then on, thenceforth onward, Yudhishthira's chariot wheels, although they never touched the ground before, from then on they touched the ground, because he hesitated to tell a lie when Krishna asked him to. We have to be ready to even break all our religious principles to satisfy Krishna. Sarva dharmam parityajya. Forget all your duties and just surrender to me. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami. Krishna wants that he go to Gokula. He doesn't want to sit in Mathura. He wants to go to the house of Nanda Maharaj. Kamsa is not the problem here. Krishna could kill Kamsa on the first day of his life. He doesn't have to wait 14 years to get ready to kill Kamsa. He could have, right in the cradle, you know, grabbed Kamsa by the neck and strangled him, or done something to him. Or just arranged for Yogamaya to drop a big rock on his head or something. So, just like I think the father of Akbar, he a great Mughal emperor, and he was up in his Chandrashala, the tower, little tower on top of the palace, looking at the stars, and he came down, tripped down the stairs, down several flights of stairs, and died. Yeah, so the great Mughal empire destroyed just by falling down the stairs. Krishna can arrange for Kamsa to fall down the stairs. Actually, Kamsa did fall in the end. You know, he fell down off his dais and he was dead. Krishna didn't kill him by punching him. He was already dead. I think Prabhupada explains that in the Krishna book. Or actually in the Bhagavatam commentaries that is said. So Krishna can arrange through his material energy or through anybody else he chooses as an agent to kill any undesirable person, even millions of them at a time. Natural catastrophes can be arranged to wipe out tens of millions of people at a time. Krishna doesn't need to lift a finger, and there's nothing keeping him from destroying at any time, in any form he might be in, any demon or enemy that he doesn't like. But so his main concern is not what to do about Kamsa. Krishna's main motive is that the Brijbasis are waiting for him over there on the other side of the river. And he wants to be transported. He wants to spend the next 11 years in the house of Nanda Maharaj. And therefore, he planted it in the mind of Devaki and Vasudeva, the idea that Kamsa could come and kill this baby also. Let's hide him. Vasudeva, under the influence of Krishna's Yogamaya, is now forgetting his religious principles, his promise to hand over every child. Anyway, he's going to be saved from actually having to break his principles because Krishna, in a few minutes, is going to order him to do this. Otherwise, if Vasudeva took the initiative, then everyone could blame him that he's a liar. But no, Krishna told him to do it. But not in some hallucinogenic dream. Krishna is right in front of him. And it's undeniable that this is the order of the Lord. Now take me out of here. And how could he do it? Vasudeva didn't have the power to leave the dungeon. He was actually overpowered by Kamsa. Otherwise, he could have killed Kamsa if he had the power. But he didn't. Kamsa was stronger than him. And he was locked up in the prison. And all the military power of Kamsa was keeping Vasudeva and Devaki prisoner. Vasudeva did not have, on his own, the power to stand up against Kamsa. Or even to sneak his baby infant child out of the dungeon. Only by the power of, combined power of Yogamaya, Baladeva, Ananta Shesha, was Vasudeva able to get Krishna out of the prison and across the Yamuna River during a raging storm at midnight. The lights go out here and it's raining. Nobody wants to go outside in the street. You could step on a snake. You could trip in the mud. You know, but here it is. Torrential storm. Not just a little bit of rain. Midnight. Out of the most heavily guarded prison anywhere. He's supposed to escape the prison and walk across the river. The river which is well, I think Prabhupada says, in spate, flooding. Waves. I mean, rivers usually don't have waves. But it was like, you know, like the middle of the ocean. And Vasudeva is supposed to somehow get Krishna over to Gokula in this condition. It was only possible by Krishna's direct arrangement, in the arrangement of Yogamaya and Anantashesha. It was done, but because Krishna wanted it. Here's the interplay. Mayarpita Manobhud here, between Krishna and his devotees. This is Kaivalyam. This is merging into one. The pure devotees merge their mind and intelligence into Krishna's, so that they're thinking what Krishna would think. They don't have to be told even by Krishna or by any agent what to do. They know in their hearts what Krishna wants. That is advanced devotee. Mayarpita Manobhudhir. So that Krishna has a desire, that desire is transmitted by spiritual osmosis into the hearts of Vasudeva and Devaki. And they'd speak back to Krishna that we want to do this. Although it was actually Krishna's desire in the first place. And Krishna says, yes, I want to do this. This is loving exchange. Merging of intention. Not merging of identity. This is unity. This should be the kind of unity that devotees share. A disciple should have this kind of unity with his spiritual master, and the godbrothers should have such a unity of purpose to serve the mission of the guru. So that nothing even has to be spoken. Just like Arjuna, when he captured Ashwatthama after Ashwatthama tried to kill Parikshit in the womb. And Arjuna arrested Ashwatthama. This is previous to that. Sorry, this is when Ashwatthama was trying to kill the five Pandavas with another Brahmastra weapon first. First, Ashwatthama shot against Parikshit in the womb. And simultaneously, he shot five arrows, not Ashwatthama weapons, five burning arrows at the Pandavas. And then Arjuna, Krishna stopped the Brahmastra weapon. The Pandavas stopped each of those five weapons aimed at each of them with their counter weapons. And then Arjuna chased after Ashwatthama and captured him. And Krishna tested him. Told him, Brahma Bandur Imam Jyahi Naivasal Triate Arhos, whatever. He doesn't deserve to be saved. Kill him on the spot. This was Krishna's direct command to Arjuna. But Arjuna was not an ordinary devotee. His devotion transcended ordinary obedience to the letter of the law. He understood what Krishna really wanted, and he refused, or at least he delayed, to kill Ashwatthama. First of all, he brought him to the Pandava camp, and he offered the bound-up Ashwatthama to Draupadi, whose sons Ashwatthama had murdered. Because he had promised Draupadi, I promise you, I'll wipe your tears. After you perform the funeral ceremony for your five sons and take your bath in the river, standing on the severed head of Ashwatthama. Then I'll wipe away your tears. This was Arjuna's promise to Draupadi. So he came with Ashwatthama, his head still on his body, still alive, and threw him at the feet of Draupadi. Here he is. Do what you want with him. You order me to cut his head off, it'll be off in 1 minute. But then Draupadi, Krishna's watching all of this. He has his intention, but he wants to see how well his devotee understands his intention. He didn't tell Arjuna, hey, I told you to kill him. Kill him. No, he kept quiet. And Draupadi said, you can't kill him. He's the son of our guru. Arjuna now is faced with a dilemma. And then Bhima piped up and said, you got to kill him. You know, nonsense. He murdered our sons. And he disobeyed his father's desire. So actually he dissatisfied Duryodhan. That's what it was meant. Duryodhan lying on the battlefield with his backbone crushed by Bhima's club on the verge of death. Ashwatthama came to him and informed him, "Now I've murdered the sons of the Pandavas. Now you can rejoice." And he didn't rejoice. Duryodhan chastised him. "This is sinful. You can't do that. It's against all the rules of chivalry." So Duryodhan lamented on the moment of his death, you know, and was chastising Ashwatthama for this. So he displeased even Duryodhan, Ashwatthama. So Bhima said, "You got to kill him. You can't let him go." And Krishna just smiled. Smayamana chatur bhujaha. He said, "Brahma Bandur," he told Arjuna, "you figure this out, please, Arjuna. Brahma Bandur nahantavya atatai vadarhanaha. Mayaev obaya amnatam paripal anushasanam." Okay, the scripture says the son of a Brahmin should not be killed. But an enemy who comes carrying weapons, he deserves to be killed. I'm the source of both these Shastric injunctions. You have to obey both of them. And you promised Draupadi that you would cut off his head, or you would kill him, and she would stand on his head and do the funeral. You have to satisfy her. You have to satisfy me, and you have to satisfy Bhima. You figure it out. Arjuna took about 5 seconds thinking, and then he took his sword and cut off the half of the beard and the hair head of Ashwatthama, left him looking ugly, released him from the bonds, took the sword and cut the rope, and kicked him out. "Send him into exile. Get out of here, you nonsense." This, for a Brahma Bandhu and for a great warrior, is worse than death. Vapanam dravanadinam stanan niryapanam tata eshahi Brahma Bandhunam varonanyosti daihikaha. This is appropriate vada, capital punishment. Vada means the king kills you. Actually, according to Manusmriti, vada doesn't just mean slaughter in its technical sense, legal sense. Although it comes to mean just, especially slaughter, like you kill an animal, vada. And if you slaughter a human being the same way you would kill an animal, that's vada. But there's a technical sense in the Dharma Shastra. It's capital punishment and of a particular kind. You're expected to surrender yourself. If you commit a crime that deserves capital punishment, rather than wait to be captured, you should come to the king and surrender yourself. And you should carry a big club with you and offer it to the king and say, "Here, smash me on the head." This is Manusmriti says this. And the king should hit you as hard as he can. And if you have about 1% chance of surviving. If you survive, that's fate. That's your fate. Otherwise, you're dead. This is vada, technically. So, but you should not do this for the son of a Brahmin. Even if he's not a proper Brahmin, if he's the son of a Brahmin, he does not deserve to be smashed on the head and killed, literally. Brahma Bandhu Nahantavya. But you shave off his head, take away his property, and send him off into exile. Kick him out. This is the capital punishment for the son of a Brahmin. So Arjuna figured it out. He understood Krishna's inner desire, because he's such an intimate devotee. Mayarpita manobudhir. Krishna didn't have to tell him. In fact, he could tell Krishna told him one thing, and Arjuna understood that Krishna really meant the opposite, or didn't mean exactly that. And he literally refused Krishna's order in order to satisfy Krishna. We cannot imitate this. Only a great, great devotee. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kodamo Yam Dadati Swapatam Tikam. Such a great devotee as Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. He's given the title Prabhupada, direct representative of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Because he understood more than all the other devotees the inner heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He understood the intimate plans and desires of Lord Chaitanya. And he established them in this world. A few other devotees, like Swarup Damodar, understood Lord Chaitanya's heart even better. And then the second is Sanatana Goswami, whose disappearance day is the day after tomorrow. And then Rupa Goswami third. But Rupa Goswami wrote the textbook on Bhakti Shastra, on Rasa Shastra, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he revealed the science of rasa graphically in his dramas and other poems. So he established the inner mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his writing and by his preaching and his personal guidance of the other devotees. We are all Rupanugas. And Rupa Goswami Prabhupada had that qualification of understanding the inner intentions and desires of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such a devotee is not bound by any ordinary religious principles. He can even tell Krishna, no, I won't do what you ask me because I know you really want something else. But we cannot imitate that. Vasudev can do it also. In this case, he turned over six of his sons to Kamsa and let Kamsa kill them. But this eighth child, the seventh one was Yogamaya, right? And the seventh one is Baladev. Well, okay, they got switched. Yogamaya appeared as the seventh. And then the eighth is Krishna. And now he's changing his mind. Let's hide him. And Krishna will confirm, yes, you have to take me and hide me in Gokula. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Yes. I'm not sure. Prabhupada. Grammatically, I'm not sure. Can pada mean position as well as foot? Place? I don't know. I have to think about that. I don't think there's any hint of it in the Harinam Vyakarana. I won't try to answer that. We'll have to study that question. He's just asking grammatically, how does the term Prabhupada and Vishnupada... Vishnupada is more common. It's an ancient term.
Yeah.
We see that in the Shastra. So we can ask a grammarian, go find some grammarian and ask him, what's the derivation of Vishnupada? We can even look in the big dictionaries. The Shalpa Kalpa Druma and that other one I have.
And they give some
compounds, they list the derivation. We can try Vishnupada.
Yeah,
okay. I was wondering about Swayambhu, and I asked this pundit in, what kind of compound Swayambhu is. It's actually a simple Karmadharya. Yeah. Okay.
So sometimes even Brahmanas take part in the war?
That's unusual. A Brahmana can do Kshatriya duty in emergency. And it was just the unusual, very strange circumstances at the end of Dwarpa Yuga where everything was becoming confused. People were being born out of pots. Demons and demigods were taking birth on the earth. Very strange circumstances. So things, very unusual things were happening, and we had a few brahmanas acting like kshatriyas, part of the general mix-up at the end of Dwarpa Yuga. Everything's too much rajogun. So much rajogun, even some brahmanas are acting as kshatriyas. Unusual circumstances. Of course, we have the earlier example of Parashuram, but he's empowered incarnation of Vishnu, and he's a special case. Rarely, sometimes a Brahmana will do the work of a Kshatriya. He's got the power. He usually refrains from violence as a matter of his principles. But a Brahmana can beat any Kshatriya, a real Brahmana, if he wants to. Well, he's got to have the physical strength, but he can beat him by mental strength, if not physical. But some Brahmanas also develop, just like Dronacharya. He just was born with an interest in military science, even though he was a Brahmina, son of a Rishi.
That's mostly what I was asking for men.
It's a strange individual karma. Yes?
This migration was a man, Ashwatthama. he was a Brahmin.
Well, you know, he inherited this from his father, Drona, who was born in a Rishi family, but his own personal inclination was toward being a warrior. From childhood, Dronacharya was interested in military science. You know, he was attracted to it. It was just his personal nature. So it's contrary. He was born in a Rishi family, but he's got a Rajasic nature. It led to trouble. He got in trouble for it. He suffered for it.
It looks like it's decided according to the book. Someone can say, look.
Well, it's, you know, you can say it's not a pure birth. You've got a Brahmin family with some Rajas coming through the blood. So, yeah, like father, like son. The father is a little mixed up in his nature. You know, he's supposed to be a Rishi's son, but he's got a passionate nature. And then his son is going to be like that too. The mixture. When according to Manusmriti, if a Brahmin family falls down because of some sinful activity, the member of the family falls down, then the whole family gets dragged down. And to recover their brahminical status will take 7 lifetimes of purification. So it continues, you know, the abnormal mixture of gunas that degrades a Brahmin family will persist for 7 lifetimes normally. So if Dronacharya was like that, certainly his son was like that too.
Why Dronacharya was not doing, like you say, not a full-fledged Brahmin?
Why?
Like you say, he was mixed up.
Comes from his previous life, and I don't know exactly the history.
But,
you know, Mahabharata, we're told about what happened to them, Karna and Drona, so the tragic circumstances of their lives. In this life, it doesn't really trace it back into previous lives. How they were born with this kind of mentality, I don't know. I don't think Mahabharata traces it back that far. You know, why they were like that.
Well,
Pranesh
was
worrying about the Brahmin. Yes. Okay, he was a Kshatriya, yeah. But he had his problems.
Yes.
You know, he was frustrated. He wasn't allowed to function as a warrior, and he was totally frustrated, and he wanted revenge, especially against his friend Drupada. Yeah. So, I'm just, you know, just comparing that Karna had problems, congenital problems, and he was born like that. He was born with, you know, bad stars. You know, he's just unfortunate from his birth, Karna. And why, that goes back to previous life, but we're not told that history. Same thing with Drona. You know, he just had some, you know, something bad in his karma that made all this happen to him. Tragic figures. It makes for a great drama to have such tragic characters. Basically good people, they got some flaw in their character that causes them a lot of trouble. That's the basic element of classical Greek tragedy. Now, tragedy is not just pathos that innocent people suffer, but then you've got a noble person that's got a fatal flaw in his character that ruins him, that drags him down. That's tragedy. So Mahabharata is full of drama, and even the elements that we see in classical Greek drama, tragedy, that's there in the Mahabharata also. I mean, the Pandavas, they're not tragic characters, they're transcendental. Krishna, nothing, he doesn't suffer. Yeah. But these characters, Drona and his son, and Karna, and even Bhishma to some extent, they're tragic characters. You can compare the Ramayana. Lord Ramachandra is not a tragic character. There's no flaw in his character. And that's pathetic. The story of Ramachandra is a tear jerker. It's very sad, all the things he had to go through. But there's nothing tragic about it, because tragedy is based on human flaw. A human being develops what's called hubris. Too much pride. Hubris. That a human being tries to rise to the position of a demigod. Then the gods knock him down. It's too much pride. And that's usually the basis of the human flaw that creates a tragic character. A man tries to become a god. But if you're already God, there's no possibility of tragedy. That's just pathetic, you know, sad story. And it's all just Krishna's lila.
Lord Ramachandra's Leela.
Okay.
You could say, like, in the Ramayana, King Vali, the king of the monkeys, who ended up, kicking out his brother Sugriva. That's a tragic character, and Ramachandra had to kill him because of that, because of a tragic flaw in his character. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
Speculating maybe one of the reasons for so much predominance of passion in Drona is because he was born at a time when his father saw Urvasi and just became Drona.
Yes.
And one of the passion just lost his semen.
Yeah, that circumstance is there. But then you can ask, well, why did this particular soul take birth as that man's son? He must have been his own karma, too. That goes back even further. But, you know, we're not given that information. What was wrong with Drona in the previous life that made him take this birth? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's some hint in the Mahabharata. Anyway, also, these are characters that are wanted to be part of the drama. You know, without Drona, without Duryodhan, without Bhishma, then the Mahabharata story isn't complete. They're part of the drama. So they're also just playing a role, also being part of Krishna's Leela.
Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.